everyone, and welcome to episode 122 of the Holding Court podcast. Today, we're chatting about a recent controversy in the news, and Justin made his way to Florida, so we'll catch up with him in his first few days at the Jays complex, and I'll fill you in on the latest with my bird watching, all coming up right now on Holding Court.
Boom. Bum 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 bum
bum bum bum. Hi there, little blue jay.
What's up, little aviary community member?
Thank you. That's my proudest title to date.
I mean, it's only fitting, right? I had to end up with a bird team for you.
That's true. Absolutely. And the Jays, the JT.
JT, the Blue JTs?
Yeah.
No, just the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Well, last episode, we left everyone on a cliffhanger on this controversy that we were going to talk about. And although it now is like a couple weeks after it happened, I still want to talk about it because I think it's, I don't know, we can play devil's advocate. So whether you saw it or not, there was a, I guess it was controversy. Everyone was kind of in an uproar over this. Alyssa Milano, she's an actress. She's been an actress for decades. She posted a GoFundMe for her son's, I think it was 12 and under travel baseball team. Am I correct? I think so. Fundraise to go to Cooperstown. And everyone clutched their pearls and absolutely had a meltdown over this. And how could this actress be fundraising for her kid, and can't she pay for his baseball and everything? And I'll start out by saying I don't think it is her responsibility to pay for the entire team. I think a lot of people it was lost on a lot of people that it wasn't her son that she was fundraising for. She was just using her platform to raise money for the rest of the team. So I think that is an important clarification.
Right.
Where I stand on the GoFundMe for a baseball team is slightly different, but I think that people were quick to think that she was saying, oh my gosh, please help me raise all this money for my son's team. Also, I don't know. I know she's like a known actress. I also don't know like if she's Moneybags McGee and is like, oh, I can pay for the entire team and their flights and their travel and their hotel because it is very expensive. But I think my issue was in the GoFundMe. Thoughts?
I think, yeah, it's twofold. I don't think she was asking for money for her own child. I think they're in a good place, most likely. I think you're right. She was using her platform to try to help everyone else raise the money. And I agree with you. I don't think it's on her to pay for the entire team to go. I actually think, and speaking from, and I know you feel the same way because we've talked about this. We probably talked about it on the podcast. But for kids and fundraising, and when I was younger, and I played on travel ball teams, and we went to tournaments in Las Vegas every year, and the parents relied on us to do a lot of the fundraising. And I'm not saying we went out and raised every single dollar and our parents didn't ever come out of pocket for these trips, but they literally made us, you know, we sold candy bars. We sold, in high school, we sold Christmas trees. We stood in front of.
I need to know more about the Christmas trees. Yeah, that's a California thing.
That's a different story. Obviously, I jumped to high school when we're talking about travel ball. But I remember we literally would stand out in front of like pavilions or Vons and ask people to give us their change after they just bought their
yeah that you cut the slit
like hey top, we're yeah. going on a we're going on a to play a baseball tournament in Las Vegas and we're trying to raise money. Can you spare your change from your groceries you just got? Now
very tiny Tim of y'all.
Well, but the other thing you have to remember is like no one uses cash in a grocery store now and there's hardly ever any change. So that wouldn't even work today. Everyone uses their card or Apple Pay or whatever. So that wouldn't even work. But I think it wasn't about how much money we'd raised. It was about making us go out and kind of earn our keep and feel like we were working to raise the money to go and be able to play in this Las Vegas tournament. And it was a privilege. It wasn't just something that was granted. And like, it wasn't like, oh, don't worry, the parents are going to pay for it. Like, you don't have to worry about anything. You just show up and play. And I think that's where a lot of things are lost. And you talk about it all the time with Girl Scout cookies. It's your, like, your biggest like pet peeve is when the parents handle all the money and count and do all the change. Like, that's not the point. The point is for the kids to count the money, present the correct change, do the math, and get out there and kind of do the hustle, right? And learn those kind of lessons in dealing with people and how to approach people and how to talk to people and how to say thank you and how to say please. I think those are the things that are probably missing in this whole Alyssa Milano extravaganza. She should just pay for her whole team. Well, then you're just creating, you know, I think spoiled kids.
Yeah. And who knows, maybe they did a bunch of fundraising on their own and this was kind of bridging the gap. I think she asked for 10,000. They got it. I know they reached it, but the Girl Scout cookie situation. And I know times are different now. And growing up, it was go door to door, knock on the door, take the order. And I don't know if it's just a California thing. I think I've seen in Arizona where you get the cookies in advance. We had to place the orders and then they would come weeks later. So it was a two-parter, which was a nightmare of tracking people down. But again, for me, someone that was naturally very shy, this forced me to go out of my comfort zone, go up to the house. Obviously my mom would, I think when we were younger, would trail us kind of either walking or in the van and be out at the end of the driveway, but we are the ones going up. She was like, never go inside, even if it's cold, and they offer you to go inside. Right. Stay where I can see you. But yeah, it was that going up to the door and, you know, letting people know what you want support for and taking the orders, being accountable, bringing them back, making the change. I think now it's, I see so many Girl Scout cookie websites and I know it's doing the same thing and it's fundraising, but there's so much character building and so many skills that can be acquired in fundraising that I don't know. I just get very passionate about these Girl Scout cookies. And
I would love to go back and see like your spreadsheets that you were making to keep track of who was ordering what.
Have the
I know,
folder.
But I know it's how beautiful. Much of a like neat freak you are and your lists that you make all the time. Like I would love to go back and see one of those Girl Scout cookie list that you had to hand write and organize and make sure everyone was getting their right cookies.
Well, then, yeah. And then it's the people that order and then they're not home and you're going back and you're going back. And it's, that was a pain in the butt. And again, like certain parents had an advantage with the Girl Scout cookie order form. My mom was a teacher and she could have put it in the teacher's lounge, but there were what, 10 other teachers in her school at that time that probably had kids that were also selling. My dad worked in the steel mill and could have probably set it in the lounge, but there were some parents that, you know, had these companies where they cornered the market and they were the only ones selling and they would come in and be like, I sold 350 boxes. Like my dad got the order. It's like, okay, well, are you actually doing it or whatever? So I get it. There's obviously advantages and disadvantages to everyone's own situation, but yeah, I don't know. That situation just got me. And then this was at Super Bowl. Alyssa and her son attended the Super Bowl. And everyone, again, was like, oh, my gosh, she can afford Super Bowl tickets. Why didn't she just pay for this entire team? I think it's like a wild precedent to assume that if someone on the team can, that they should. I think, again, it brings back to the fundraising. But also, I don't know if people realize that a lot of people get comped Super Bowl tickets. Like, I don't know if she actually paid for, maybe she paid for the tickets, but
no, a lot of people got comped.
Yeah, like management or agencies or different people have comped tickets. So I know there were a few like athletes that went. It's like, oh my God, they spent, how much was the cheapest ticket or something?
It was one of the most expensive Super Bowls.
So. I think the cheapest, like the get-in price was like, what, $8,500 or like $4,500? I don't know.
I would be wrong if I said
I'm just guessing. But then everyone got very mad about that. I was like, oh, heavens.
I think.
I don't know. Again, just fun. I mean, again, you mentioned Christmas trees. I sold rotisserie chickens, I think was my proudest thing. I think it's called Nelson's Chicken. and we would take orders, and there was this big like rotisserie chicken truck that would roll up, and the people that bought the chickens from you would come up and get like a Costco rotisserie, and they were so good. And again, like summer sausage, cookie dough, cheese, tagged. We did like bag groceries, everything. It was so fun. And now I think these like online fundraisers, there's a lot lost in them. And again, like a GoFundMe for a lot of people for health issues and for pet issues and all of that. Like you need very quick crowdsourcing and fundraising. And yes, like I'm posting online about the marathon and fundraising on there. I get it. I'm also putting in the work of running the marathon.
Right.
So I get it. Like there's a time and a place, but I think everyone kind of jumped on her and I don't know. I just had some thoughts on it.
I disagree with the GoFundMe that she put together. Like,
you don't like it?
I don't at like all. That. Okay. No, I mean, I think, you know, to reach out, like for me, a GoFundMe is there's more dire needs for people who are trying to raise money. And that's where my mind goes when I hear a GoFundMe. But I mean, I don't know. I guess it works. They raised their 10 grand.
They got their 10 grand. They're going to Cooperstown. Congratulations, kids.
I mean, I sold the holiday popcorn.
All this is making me hungry. I want a Nelson's rotisserie chicken. I want a summer sausage. I want
candy. In high school, we did Christmas trees. Like there's so many different things that you can do to raise money, I feel like.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The game, I will say baseball has gotten very expensive for the kids. So I don't love that part of it. I think that we're doing a disservice to our game by making it so expensive and all these showcases and whatnot and how much parents have to pay to get kids into it.
Yeah.
But
that's a topic for a whole other show. I feel like it used to be a very affordable sport. And then now, I mean, I guess you can play it obviously at like a basic level, but if you want any sort of exposure, all these travel teams, I mean, talking to parents with kids, their weekends are absolutely insane now.
Yep.
They honestly, full days, like night games. I don't even know who you're talking to the other night. They were coming home from a game. It was like 9:30 at night. I'm like, goodness, I'm in my pajamas, ready to go to bed. These kids are out here grinding, playing like several games a day. It's just wild.
But well, that's the same. I mean, when I was a kid, we did that. You go out into tournaments, you're playing three games a day, you know, in a 3-day weekend or a 4-day weekend. So you're playing 5, 6, 7 games, hopefully, if you're winning them all and going to the championship. And like it was always crazy. Fine. And you have long days at the park. Like that's normal. But the price of admission to be a player on one of these teams is getting out of hand.
Yeah. So go start a GoFundMe if you are trying to get it. Well, you are actually in Florida now. I'm in Florida with you, which is lovely. But I will share my details of my annual road trip another time. First impression of, it's not Dunedin, Florida. When you read it, naturally, I want to say Dunedin, Florida, and getting to the complex. You always take, well, I say you always, last year, your first day with Boston, it's the red eye flight and you get in and probably everything just happens so fast. But same thing again, you got here in a red eye and jumped right into it.
Yeah, it's becoming a tradition, I guess. But yeah, red eyed in. Got landed at like 6 in the morning, got in a rental car, went straight to the complex. And I got to tell you, complex is A++++. They redid it a few years ago, and it is state-of-the-art, second to none, every single aspect of it, from training room to weight room to batting cages, the locker room. It is just top-notch across the board. Unbelievable. Makes it really exciting to go to work today or every day when you're walking into facilities like we have here. So pretty awesome. The one thing I maybe kind of had a feeling, but I didn't know that the stadium is actually like 8 minutes away from the player complex. So
That's wild.
That's a little weird. Yeah.
So I haven't seen your, technically, I haven't seen your training complex.
No.
I've only been to a game.
You were literally like getting in the night of family day, which was at the complex on the big turf area.
I missed the petting zoo and all that.
Oh my God. They were baby goats. You missed the baby goats. They looked like Rigby. It was, they were great. But no, it's been fantastic so far. And, the organization's awesome. You know, on top of the players that are here, that are great, great group of guys that have been played together for a long time, great pitching. But there's some veteran players that always come back, like in every organization, which has been pretty cool hanging out with Victor Martinez and Edwin Encarnacion a lot the last few days, just talking about hitting and talking about, you know, their experience and what made them tick. And that's been pretty cool. And obviously getting to meet a lot of young guys and be around the cage and looking forward to spending a full season with them and hopefully helping them, you know, maximize their abilities.
I saw you, there's like a clip on Twitter or something, you in the cage talking, hitting with guys. Do you just, I don't know, you guys all are speaking the same language and wanting to accomplish the same thing. So does that just feel like naturally you're comfortable enough to discuss your hitting and mechanics with guys? Like, I mean, you've only been here for what, 2 weeks, not even 2 weeks now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always around the cage and
you should tell people on Instagram, because if you post something and you're a Major League Baseball player and you're actually not physically in a batting cage, they will tell you to get in the cage.
That is the number one most popular comment on anything.
They just want you to eat your meals there. Yeah. Like, yeah, 100%.
What are you doing waking up in the cage? No,
you're like, I'm happy to. Right, I'm more than happy to spend my time there.
It's been great so far. Our hitting guys, starting with Donnie, that's another cool part. I get to be back with Don Mattingly.
With the beard.
And he's back with the beard, and I think it looks glorious.
It's very icy beard.
Yeah, very icy. We were talking the other day, like, I wonder if he uses some purple shampoo, because it almost has like that blue tint to it, which goes well with our uniforms.
Very Jack Frost from like Santa Claus 3 style. And no sideburns.
So reference. The Simpsons, yeah. All the Simpsons people, yourself included, are probably a little disappointed. But I wonder if I should ask him if he's going no sideburns on purpose. Do you think? Do you think that's just a Simpsons slight?
Is it typical to not leave the sideburns?
Maybe he wants it really short on the side and then.
But it starts like it seems very intentional.
Okay, I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask him tomorrow if that was, it's just a straight slight to
you think he
Mr.
Just
Burns.
Like buzz the sideburns, not being ironic.
I don't know. I'm going to ask him tomorrow. This is going to be our cage talk in the morning.
Okay.
But anyways, it's great to be back with him. And then our hitting guys, Guillermo and Hunter and Hager, have been fantastic. And really it's not about like going in there and being like, I think this and I think this. It's, you hang out in the cage and there's questions pop up and there's dialogue that just happens because, you know, I think what makes good baseball players are curious baseball players. And I like to ask a lot of questions because hitting is something I don't think you ever master. I think it's an infinite climb up a mountain. If you think you get to the top, the game's going to humble you and knock you right back down on your butt. So you have to be curious every day and you have to go in and you have to, you know, want to find ways to get better no matter how good you are. And I think asking questions is part of that. And we got a lot of good, talented players who are young and curious, which I think is a really, really good thing. And I'm looking forward to spending a lot of time with them.
Is there ever a thought of, like, obviously there's hitting coaches on the team. Like, is there a, like, tread lightly or I'm just giving my perspective, or do you ever like run into a like, oh, I don't want to say too much of, because obviously everyone has their own hitting philosophies. Yours is pretty specific, I would say. Like, you know what you're trying to do, and or are you just giving, are you able to give advice based on a guy's already developed swing, like what they're doing? Are you able to look at it and say, okay, I know what you're trying to do here with your Do I sound really?
No, that's actually a fantastic question.
I know. I messed with you the other day and I was like, babe, your hands were like really quiet, like through the zone. And you were like, okay, you're just making up stuff, but they were, I was trying to make sure they were quiet. I was like, yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. I kind of pick up.
No, that was actually a great question because
thank you.
One, no, like you don't want to just go in there and step on anyone's toes. So like want to make sure, you know, whatever is being said, you know, or asked or whatever, like I want the hitting guys to be around because if they have a different opinion, like obviously that matters and carries weight.
Right.
But the other thing is approaching it and having the conversations with guys. It doesn't work. Like Major League Baseball players have a lot of pride and they've all made it to the major leagues for a reason and they believe in what they're doing and what got them there. And the reason I like curious baseball players is because when they ask questions, that then opens up the door to have conversations and talk about different things and different thoughts and different feels and different drills that we can do. But if I were just to walk in and start telling guys, why are you doing that? You shouldn't do this. No, do it this. No, you should do it that way. It's not going to be received well. It's not going to come across well. Right. So like some guys who aren't open and don't talk a lot about it, then you have to be a little bit more patient and wait for that kind of window to pop up. And obviously I'm the new guy. The hitting guys have been around these guys a lot longer and they have already kind of that open door to,
you're like, hello, fellow teenagers, what's trendy around here?
Right. But they already have that open door to have conversations with some of these guys that I don't have. So sometimes, you know, if I see some stuff, like it's better just to go to someone that already has that open door for communication. And I'll be like, hey, what do you think if so-and-so tried this or this or this? And sometimes that's the best way to go about it. But it's always easiest for me when someone's like, hey, why do you do this? And then it's like, oh, yes, here we go.
You're like, how much time do you have?
Now I get to
3.5 hours.
Talk about hitting, right? Like, and that's the fun part. But I think being curious as a baseball player is by far the best, what's the right word? Quality, yeah. A player can have is being curious and not thinking you have all the answers and not thinking you have it figured out. Is even the best guys run into some issues where they're like, someone help me. Like, I'm so lost. And it happens to all of us. So,
and you're probably just waiting. It's a
very humbling feeling.
Or the coaches are waiting for them to be like, hey, something is not. Because, yeah, I would have a hard time not wanting to step on someone's toes. Obviously, like, I'm not the hitting coach. So I would say, okay, this is not my place. I also would be afraid that they would yell at me and be like, what are you doing? Like, that's not your job. But, yeah, like, wanting someone to say, hey, something feels weird here, and instead of being like, hey, I'm noticing something, like, can I tell you what I think you're doing or that? Like, obviously, the approach is how they're going to receive it,
and right.
You don't want to mess that up. So that's very fair. But I agree on the complex. I agree on the stadium. Well, the stadium is beautiful. They played here.
The stadium is beautiful because, yes, in 21.
But they already obviously had it.
Right.
Nice and polished up and done, correct?
Yes, but they had to invest some money and to make it nice enough for the major league season in 21 when the border wasn't opened up. So we couldn't go up there and play yet, or they couldn't go up there and play yet. So they kind of did everything, the locker room, the facilities. I'm assuming. I obviously never saw it beforehand, but
it's a stunner.
It's all very well done at the stadium as well. So, which makes me super excited because they're also renovating up north and finishing off, I think it's like a $600 million project. They did a lot of it last year and they're finishing it off this year. So, with how nice everything is down here, I can't wait to get up
preview.
And see Rogers Center and everything they're doing. It's going to be so weird though, because, you know, with the Dodgers, every year we go back and we play the freeway series. So we always have 4 or 5 days where you get to go in the stadium. And, you know, so my first year in 2014, you know, even though we went to Australia and opened, we still came back and played the freeway series. So I got to go in and like kind of get my feet wet and know where to park and know where to walk in the stadium and then find my locker and know where everything is before opening day. This year we're opening in Tampa. So we're driving down from Dunedin to Tampa.
Quaint little Dunedin.
Yeah.
Home of Honeymoon Island.
And we have like a 10-day road trip to open. We're going to get back. I think we play in New York is the last series on the road trip. So we'll get back into Toronto late, whatever that is, Sunday night.
You're like, where do I park?
Yeah. Seriously. Like when we get back and we'll get on the bus and go straight to Rogers Center is I think how they do it here, which I don't know. That'll be new too. But I'll be walking into that home side of the stadium for the first time, like trying to figure out where everything is. And then
hopefully there's little hall monitors to point you in the right direction.
Hopefully I show up the same time as someone else and I can just follow them in. But, that's all going to be brand new. And then we have an off day and then the next day is opening day. I think a day game will be going in. And I think that's going to be, I'm not an anxious person. I don't have a lot of anxiety, but I think opening day, there's going to be some anxiety just because like the routine and knowing where things are and like where I'm supposed to go. Like I'm not going to have that in my head. Like the night before a game, I can be like, okay, when I get in tomorrow, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go in here. I'm going to do that. I can't do that right now because I don't even know where anything is or what anything looks like. So opening day is going to be interesting up there. But
it's a night game, so you can go at 9 a.m. It looks like it's a night game against the
I'm
Yankees.
Not going to go at 9 a.m. No.
No, I lied to you. The Mariners.
But it is a night game?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. I'll have more time. I'm not going to show up at 9 a.m.
I think it's 6 o'clock.
I might show up at like 11 just so I can figure out where everything is.
We'll let you know what time you actually showed up.
Okay. You don't think I'll go at 11?
I know, because you have to get all your stuff because obviously everything goes on. How does that work? Because a truck goes up with all the stuff, but obviously if you're opening in, that's another wacky thing. Like normally the equipment truck goes up from spring training. Like you load it all up, goes to the home stadium, but you guys are playing in Tampa.
Right.
So.
Well, everything's going to be there.
Yeah.
So
you
I'm
need
wondering,
to like get your.
Yeah. I'm wondering if on the off day, situated. It's like go up. Go back to the stadium, get all of our stuff that was shipped up and try to get settled at the house. I don't know. We'll figure that out when it comes.
We'll keep you posted on the journey. If Justin is anxious on
these are some of the things though that people probably don't think about, right? Like
yeah.
I know, and obviously like oh poor me. Like I get it. Like there's probably a lot worse things I could be doing, but like
yeah, that is very
this
true.
Is my no one feels this is my reality. I know no one feels bad for me, but like
no, but it's
a
fair.
Lot of unknowns.
It's just different, and obviously, yeah, you're used to routines, you're used to certain things, and it's gonna be a little different this year. But just throw you right into it in another country.
I'll get my routine real fast.
Just bring your passport. That's all you need to do. Oof, make sure
I got it.
You've got it ready.
We're good to go.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. Even it was funny. The stadium is. Gorgeous here. There's even like a wives lounge because I guess they let them keep it or like a wives suite during the game because they had it during that COVID season and they let them keep it. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this place is beautiful. And then Lilia Pepio was here 2 days ago.
Freaking when Ryan struck me out.
That was funny. Though. You were like, I'm taking all the way. He can walk me. I was like, you actually took the first five pitches. We were laughing hysterically.
I did. And if I wouldn't have saw, the last one was ball four. So.
Well, you had to take the bat off the shoulder at some point.
I'm trying to help him make the team, you know.
Oh, I think he's fine.
I think he's fine.
Too. She got to the stadium early because I think they have one car. And she's like, wow, the stadium is beautiful. I was like, yeah, it's pretty nice. I'm excited. It's beautiful. So hopefully people that have been making their way down to Florida spring training can
have you found
come check it out.
Have you found the mascot yet?
I found him right away, of course. And he's a beautiful blue jay. A beautiful ace.
Ace, yeah.
Well, I actually met him
last year.
Well, I came to two series in Toronto last year and I have a photo with him at each one. So I've already been acquainted with him. It's very wild to, the mascot that's not in the to ruin Santa Claus, but it's obviously a suit. To not be in like the big, like clunky mascot suit. Like he's in like
he's
a
like
onesie.
Slim and trim.
Yeah. And so, but
or
he.
Or she. Is it a she? Is it he? Is Ace a he?
I don't know. I think it's a guy. He's very tall. But he moves and grooves and is very active little blue jay. So, but yeah, like Wally was very clunky. like, I loved Wally, but he was like a big, clunky,
Wally was jolly
Muppet. And then you have this sleek bird just buzzing around the stadium.
You may or may not have already been on his radar this year because when we had opening day for spring training, we did introductions, right? And they announce everyone, you run out, and he was at the very front of the line. So they said batting third, DH, Justin Turner, and I ran on the field, and he was the first guy.
Did you give him Nux or what?
I said, hey, bud, my wife loves you. And I gave him Nux. So he might have been on the lookout for you.
Yeah. They did like a lucky row thing a couple rows in front of me, but I'm going to wait for the right moment to get a good reacquaintance with
Wally and Tess are going to be pissed at you. Yeah.
No, I love every mascot. I truly do. I need to get to the Mascot Hall of Fame. It's right by my hometown in Indiana. I think it's in Lowell. And apparently it was voted like best experience in the whole Chicagoland area, or like best, I don't know. It's honestly just a mascot museum.
I didn't even know there was a mascot museum.
I wonder if it'll be up there with the Milwaukee Bobblehead Museum, which is one of my top. If you go to Milwaukee, you have to check that out.
But I don't even know what cities we go to this year. So
we go to Milwaukee. So you can pop over to the Bobblehead Museum.
Okay.
You have several there. You have like at least 10 or 12. They have your Santa Claus one from Rancho Cucamonga. They have very obscure ones of you, like a Game of Thrones one. It's wild. They have many.
I have an extra Indiana Jones one. Should I bring it with me to Milwaukee?
So you absolutely should.
Put it up in there?
All right. They'll take it. It's the best. They give you a scavenger hunt when you go. It's really cool.
That's probably a really hard scavenger hunt.
It's fun. It was my sister was there and her boyfriend was there. And we basically each gave one other of us a person to find. And my sister had like Bob Uecker. And she's like, who's Bob Uecker? I was like, oh, heavens, honey.
Bob probably had 30 in there.
Yeah. I forgot what it was. I think her boyfriend had, maybe it was like Steve Sachs or something. It was random. We couldn't find it. I forgot who I had. I'd have to ask them, but it was kind of funny. But they have a full like scavenger hunt sheet that you can actually go and find. But we just were like, okay, let's do the expedited scavenger hunt and assign each other one. But no, it's cool. Off track. Back to the birds. You mentioned the Blue Jay. And I have to give an update because my Christmas gift was perfect. I'm not a big reaction person for gifts. And this one got, I'd say, a pretty good Courtney gift reaction. Right?
Yeah.
From you. I know you're sitting there waiting to be like, praise me, I'm the best gift giver ever. I got a bird buddy. Everyone's like, what is a bird buddy, you might ask? This is not a plug. If they want to sponsor me, they're more than happy to send over a coupon code for me to share with you guys. It is a birdhouse, and now you're probably all going to get ads for it because it's being said on your phone or your computer. It is a birdhouse with basically a Ring camera inside of it. And it is set up, and then your camera will basically like the Ring. Like there's movement, it'll capture, but there's an extra layer. It will tell you the type of bird that is chomping those little seeds and nuts in your bird buddy. And so we set it up in LA. I think mine is named Patches Perch in honor of
Pachito,
the late Patches. Love of my life, morning dove that we lost last year. And it's there and it was set up and we had a very unsuccessful run with the bird buddy, but the bird buddy made it to Florida and I'm going to be taking it up to Toronto in hopes of capturing a blue jay. But the first couple of days you set it up right by our kitchen window.
Right.
And I kept seeing little birds on kind of the power lines and back on the fence. And I'm like, come little children. Like we have seed. We don't know if we had the right seed. You just kind of grab like the standard bag at like a pet store. And we need to like, I guess there's specific seed that you need to attract.
Right.
I'm more of the wild bird aviary community member. So I have to kind of hone in on the like specific, I'm always like, whatever is near me is what I'm interested in. But if we want to figure out what's in the area, I guess you have to give them a specific seed. I just thought they're eating anything, like here, seed or like a piece of fruit. Great. But I guess it's very specific. So my sister said it was probably in the kitchen window.
I went to PetSmart and their only like small bag was whatever the bag it was, like a Finch. Got. It was like a Finch.
Finch
seed or
medley.
Something.
I'm like, this looks like, lovely.
There were other types of birds, but they were monster bags. And I was like, I don't even know if this is going to work. I'm not going to buy a 10-pound bag.
Yeah.
Right. So I bought the little, it was like a pound and a half bag of the Finch seed. And I was like, okay, we'll give it a whirl. Like it's bird seed. Like they're not going to eat it. Really? What bird flies over? And I was like, nope, not eating that.
I guess they have a very specific palate.
Unbelievable.
So we had it kind of in the kitchen window and nothing, but I think they saw us. It was close to the dogs. They weren't coming over. And I thought, okay, let's put it a little back by the fence because there's a tree that kind of hangs over. But the problem is there's squirrels all over there, and they are expert jumpers, climbers. Obviously, we know what they did to patches.
They'll do anything.
A-holes. And I was like, okay, we got to get some action on this thing. We got to see if like the motion detector works. We got to make sure this is working. And right away, like, honestly, I think you like knock it into the ground, set it up. We go inside and 30 minutes later you text me and you're like, check your bird, buddy. There's action. And I was like, oh my God, we have our first visitor. And it's just like 40 different clips of this squirrel just absolutely, and Justin even like peeled fresh clementines.
I put oranges on it because I was peeled, like, the seeds aren't working.
Literally, well, it was a bed of seeds, and then he peeled the clementine and put individual little slices of clementine. And this squirrel is just like, it's like soup plantation for the squirrel. He's just going wild, and there's all these snapshots of him, but he's a criminal because he's not supposed to be on the bird buddy. And that thing, like, we went back and looked on the camera on the house. And this guy scaled that thing like a freaking ninja stripper, like gets up the pole. No, honestly, you saw the footage.
I did.
This guy's unbelievable. So then my mom's like, oh, you have to Vaseline or like Crisco the pole.
I tried spraying
it. So I'm like,
I didn't put any Vaseline, but I like sprayed it with some stuff.
He took like the chosen avocado oil and was like spritzing.
No,
like,
I actually think it was like Febreze from the bathroom or something outside. I was like, oh.
Well, that's,
it did not make it slippery. It was, well, I didn't have any.
Now
like,
he just smells fantastic, and he had a beautiful lunch like at our
expense. He like threw everything everywhere. There were seeds everywhere. He was like, it was like he was like digging to the bottom.
Well,
of
he had
feeder.
An absolute just food festival at this thing. God. But I will say it was kind of fun getting these little clips. And then on the Bird Buddy app, you can see other very popular bird buddies around the world. So there was one in Canada, and it actually had a blue jay on. It's very exciting. Right. There's Aloha Acres in Hawaii, and this guy gets like hot action. It's unbelievable. He'll have four different kinds of birds at one time on this perch. So
yeah.
I'm very hopeful that when we do find our place to live in Toronto, we're going to find a good spot for it. And I will have plenty of bird footage to share with everyone. And it will be very like Ace Ventura of like where they just all land on my arms. Might come to me, all of them, and we'll get the right seed and we'll dial it in. But it made the trip.
You have to post one of these pictures.
Oh, I will.
Of
I have a full video of this little con artist that got on there.
It's wild.
No, it's so good. That's why when we have it set up in Toronto and it's done right and we get these bird visitors, it's going to be, because the angle is just funny. It's like someone's looking through like a peephole. Like
it's so
just
close. Kind of, yeah.
Yes. It's right in there. Yeah. But we'll keep you posted. And I know I mentioned this last time. I had to share this game show that we're obsessed with because basically I can be summed up in a game show watching member of the aviary community that just follows my husband around for baseball. But the show, if you didn't guess it, do you want to reveal it? Do you even remember the name?
What are we talking about? Which one?
Raid the Cage.
Oh, yes. Raid the Cage.
Okay. It's on.
Oh, my gosh. You guys have to watch Raid
the Cage. I want to say, I told a few people to watch it, and they just text me, and they're like, this is the dumbest show I've
ever
watched.
It's so dumb.
I've watched all 10 episodes, and I need more, and I need to know if it was renewed for another season. I want to say it's on CBS. I think we found it on Hulu. I don't know why I thought it was a Fox show, but it was not Fox. It's CBS. And not one of the Wayans brothers. The Wayans brothers' son, who is somehow like 45. I'm like, what happened? Like, how are the Wayans brothers like 65 now? It's hosted by, I'm really spacing on his name, but he's good. And Jeannie Mai, who I think was on one of those. She was on, what's the golf one? Holy Moly. And then way back in the day, she was on like one of those fashion makeover shows, but she's funny. So basically the premise of the show is it's two contestants on a team versus two contestants on another team. And they're normally kind of themed. It's like mother, son, or couple, or friends, whatever. And you do a little set of like matching trivia to get a certain amount of time. And then you get, your partner goes into this cage. It's really just like a big glass room with like designer clothing and electronics, and you can win a car, and there's ways to win a trip. And the kicker is
there's all kinds of luxury items in this room, like
extreme luxury items.
From like iPhones to like golf carts.
Yes.
To like a Mercedes Benz. Like,
yeah.
There's everything in there, and the goal is to get as much of it out of the room before you run out of time.
Yeah, but you can't run out of the room and drop it, go back in the room, run out of the room and drop it. You have to get it all out like at the same time, right. Like once you exit the cage. But based on how well you did on the little trivia matching is the amount of time you get. And it is just like hilarious. You just have to watch it. I don't even know how to explain it. I feel like the rules changed as the show went on. And at one point it was you had to have your full body out of the cage before the time ran out, which they don't know how much time. So I was trying to think of my strategy. Okay, I have 30 seconds. Like, am I counting in my head? Am I doing like one Mississippi? Or am I relying on my partner to do like a caw-caw from across the room when I have 10 seconds? Sometimes they would have 45 and they would run out of the cage and they still have 30 seconds left. And you're like, you idiot. But then you're thinking, how would I know what 45 seconds feels like? It probably, especially on TV, the lights are bright. There's like designer items like glaring in your
eye. And you're trying to grab stuff and carry stuff and stuff your pockets. And
you probably just think like, oh my gosh. And once the doors close, these people like will throw their body out and like their shoulders jammed and they'll like barrel roll into like a go-kart.
You have to watch. Actually, the very first one is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I'm not, Court loves watching game shows and I sit there and watch them with her.
Okay.
And I don't.
You're not being out there against your will.
No, I enjoy watching.
I'm obsessed with game
shows. I'm not like someone that like yells at the screen. Or like yells at the contestants.
Oh, this will change like, that for everybody.
You know, like Jeopardy's on. If I know one of the 50 answers, I'll like, you know.
Are you
I'll
doing
say
a magic
it.
Trick with your hands?
I don't know what to do with my hands right now.
No, but they're blurring like out. It's like very, it's wild.
Talladega
it's like,
Nights. Oh, yeah, I'll keep them down here.
Yeah, let's not do that.
But anyways, like I watch the show and whatever, but like when the show's on,
it is.
I'm like yelling at these people like, what are, I don't know what. Comes over me. It's very dumb. It's Marlon Wayans Jr. by the way is the host.
Thank you.
But I'm like yelling at the TV like, what are you doing? And I think I really want to come on the show with you. I think we would absolutely
we'd end up like with all these luxurious items or headed for divorce court because I would be like, you blew it.
With a K or a C?
It's wild. Yeah, that's a new game show. But at the end, like the rules are just so wild because at the end, like you could have your body through and then if you had like a toe back on like a kayak, they're like, she got the kayak. And it's like, it wasn't even out of the door. Like, I think they're just making shit up. And I think if it is back for a season two, you're going to see some like extreme strategies of people. Cause these people that go on these new game shows, you really have no idea. And I think the first season of a show is always the best, especially like reality TV, competition TV. Like you go back and watch like the first season of like Real World and it is just iconic before people realized or they could get like famous on social media like The Bachelor. Now a lot of people are like, okay, I know I can get like a sugar bear hair gummy deal from this or like I can get whatever they're trying to push and plug on social. But I don't know. I hope it's as good, but I think people are going to come in and figure out how to do it or like get the timing right or something. So maybe it won't be as good. So make sure you watch the season or maybe it'll be
at least,
brilliant. It'll be incredible, but
at least watch the first episode. There's a father daughter on the first one. And I'm not going to tell you what happened, but this is like the very first time someone went in the cage.
Yeah.
You just
groundbreaking
have to,
television.
It was almost, I almost felt sad for this. It was like, oh my, it was like kind of cute, but kind of sad at the same time. I don't like, know if you remember the first episode. I was just like
in my head,
but
right
I'm
now.
Like, what is happening right now? Like, how is that? Like, how did that even like go through this guy's
But then it was
main?
Sad
like,
because he's like, oh, she wanted it. Whatever.
Don't
Everyone
say
has
it,
to watch it.
It.
Everyone has to watch it. It's so good. Raid the cage. on CBS. That was a plug. I am not intentional, but
this is court trying to get put on Right the Cage.
I think I could do it. No, that and The Floor. That's another one we watched with Rob Lowe. That was a good one. But that's just like trivia head-to-head challenge.
That's a good one.
Stop. Don't trivia spoil. Good, we just finished that one too. I need more. I'm out of all these game shows. I ran out of Press Your Luck. Celebrity Jeopardy's over. I can't get enough. I don't know what it is. I don't know why I'm obsessed with game shows. They're just so good. They're so good. There's not like sitcoms like there used to be. I mean, maybe. But I guess there are really good shows.
I think you've seen every episode of every game show ever made.
I need more. Give me more. There's some really bad ones that came out like on Hulu. Like I'll be going through the game show tab. I'm like, this never should have been made. There was like a Jason Biggs one. Remember that one?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It's like Cherry's Wild. There's
the host. The hosts of the shows matter too.
I'm mad that all game shows are now just hosted by actors and actresses. Right. Like I miss that like classic game show host, like a host. And now it's just, I don't know. I blame COVID because I think there weren't a lot of productions going on in TV and movies. And so a lot of these jobs just went to actors, but I don't know. Maybe because I'm hopeful that I'll host a game show one day. Who knows?
There's not a lot of real ones left, you know?
I know. Gone are the days of Bob Barkers of the world.
Sajak.
I know. Last season, Wheel of Fortune.
Unbelievable.
Very sad.
Is Vanna staying on?
She is with Ryan Seacrest.
What?
It's going to be wild. I know. Oh, just saying. It's a whole. I have very strong feelings about it.
We'll see how that goes.
Filled with passion for game shows. But
I think Ryan Seacrest will be fine, though.
Yeah.
He's more of the host type than an actor trying to host.
Yeah. No. It's true. It'll just be wild. It'll be different. Like, that's always who was just there every day for us, Pat and Vanna.
I know.
And when we lost Alex Trebek, it was just, it's devastating. It's not the same.
Right.
I still watch, but it's not the same. What a somber note to end the episode
on. I know. Sorry.
Wow. Oh, man. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode. A friendly reminder to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And remember to rate and review. We love to read them and see them on Apple, Spotify, and now you can watch us on YouTube. So make sure you check that out and leave a comment on there as well.
Yeah. Usually you say, see you next time or something. And then I say,
well, I didn't know if you had anything left to add.
I didn't have a closing statement. I got sad thinking about
the fallen game show host.
The fallen game show host.
I know. I know. Trust me. It's,
we got to end next week on a higher note.
We'll come back with more positivity
for you next week. We got to bring them a higher love.
That's true. All right. Well, thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Boom, 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 boom,